here at a university broadcast studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks. Well, President Trump just a few moments ago had a come to Jesus minute with the governors of America. So President Trump holding a conference call with the governors over what happened in this country over the weekend. It was anarchy. And the president calling them weak and told them they need to dominate. He says, most of you are weak. You have to arrest people. You have to dominate. If you don't dominate, you're wasting your time. They're going to run all over you. You're going to look like a bunch of jerks. You have to dominate. Do you think they're really going to get that message? Do you really think that the governor of Minnesota, do you really think the governor of California, they're actually going to be able to crack down and restore law and order? I mean, I'm glad the president's jerking a nod in these guys, but come on. Senator Tom Cotton, by the way, says the president needs to send in the 101st Airborne, says that, could you imagine? You know what would happen? In about 10 minutes, there would be peace in America. That's what would happen. But I'm not too sure the White House is willing to go down that route. I don't know. I could be mistaken here. But we'll see what happens. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. Before we get to the phones, we had a major breaking news story that happened over the weekend that got completely lost in all of the coverage of the riots. There have been a lot of church groups that have been filing lawsuits over these stay-at-home orders. And in many states, you are still not allowed to gather your entire congregation together. In some places, you can only have 10, others 25. So one of those cases made it to the Supreme Court. And on Friday night, late Friday night, a deeply divided Supreme Court refused to allow churches in California and Illinois to reopen during the coronavirus pandemic with more worshipers than state plans permit. Now, what's interesting about this is that in Illinois, the governor had already relented on that order against the churches. But here's the kick in the private parts, ladies and gentlemen. You know who cast the deciding vote and sided with the liberal judges? It was none other than Chief Justice John Roberts. Well, here to help us figure out what's going on, what does this mean for churches, is our good friend Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty Institute. Kelly, good to have you back with us today.
Happy to do it, Todd.
So look, I want to get your reaction to what happened Friday, and what does this mean for churches around the country?
Well, the Illinois one was really a victory, because what happened is, it was about to go to Justice Kavanaugh, and the governor of Illinois, who had earlier said that he was not going to allow churches to go back to in-person services again until there was a vaccine, he obviously backed down, and he took all the restrictions off of churches. They laid out guidelines, which they didn't have to follow, but all churches are going to try to be safe anyway. And so all the court did on that is they said, look, we don't need to reach this. The governor's already backed off. What happened from the California appeal is much more disturbing. Although we didn't think it was a wise timing on that appeal, because just days before that appeal went to the Supreme Court, the governor of California also kind of blinked and said, okay, I'm going to start allowing churches back open. Even though I said it was going to be 3 months, you can open up to 25% capacity and et cetera, et cetera. Then they filed this motion to the Supreme Court, the lawsuit in California did, and said we need an emergency intervention. And, that sort of posture, I think, wasn't the greatest posture to go for an emergency, and that we lost Chief Justice Roberts. And the bad thing was not just he didn't vote in favor of the church, but he said some things that were highly disturbing. That, again, this isn't a very unique kind of an appeal. He said, quote, there's a significantly higher justification required. Proof has to be indisputably clear when it's this type of emergency motion and blah, blah, blah. But then he went on to say things like that we're unelected judiciary. We can't second guess you know, the policymakers, and said a number of things that, in the context of fundamental First Amendment rights, no, that is your job, to question the policymakers. While they can make their policy, they can't strip away people's freedoms. And so that decision is now a real problem, and I think, unfortunately, it'll be misinterpreted as well as misused to attack churches, not only in this situation, but in the future, if we can't get this thing turned around. Some of us, our goal at First Liberty is to get a case up to the Supreme Court before all this is over, to hopefully begin to wipe out and clean up this horrible opinion that came down Friday night, as far as what Justice Roberts had to say.
Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh basically said that the California's 25% occupancy limit on churches amounted to discrimination against religious worship services. It's really, I mean, I think it really shocked a lot of people to see the Chief Justice on the other side of this issue.
It is a little surprising, because the Chief Justice has actually been very good on religious freedom. And again, I think what threw him off is the fact of how it arrived and just the timing of everything. He said some things that are just not true. I mean, he said that he thought the church wasn't being treated differently because, you know, they were only being treated differently than some types of groups, but not others. And he said things like, you know, churches are different because people congregate there, unlike laundromats. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. People don't congregate in laundromats for long periods of time? I mean, you stay there for hours. I don't think, I'm guessing the chief hasn't been in a laundromat, but those of us who have, when we were younger or whenever, know that there's a lot of congregating in a laundromat.
Oh,
and
sure.
So he said some things that, in other words, justifying that the laundromat was treated better than the church by comments like that. And I mean, it's really inexcusable that a laundromat would be treated better than the church. It's, you know, when I last checked, Todd, there's no laundromat protection in the First Amendment, but there is freedom of assembly, there is free exercise of religion, and so this is a really not a very helpful decision for religious freedom, and it's one of the first I can remember that the chief really was on the wrong side of religious freedom, and so I'm hoping that we're going to be able to get a different case than this case that was brought by the people of California out there, maybe something up that has better facts where he can really look at it and come down on the side of religious freedom. Because if not, you know what this is going to be read as. It's going to be anytime you want to declare an emergency as a government official, you declare your emergency, and there goes fundamental First Amendment rights, and that's not something we can have.
No, you're right. And I think it's also a reminder that it's really important about the kinds of cases that are filed. And that's one of the things I deeply, deeply respect about you, Kelly, and First Liberty Institute. You guys are very selective in the cases you take. And there's a good reason for that.
There is. I mean, if you think about what happened here, we were doing so well until this late Friday night decision came down out of California. I mean, we had the case in Louisville, which is kind of the shot heard around the country. It was the first major case in a pandemic, and it was just a grand slam home run by Judge Justin Walker, the federal judge there in Louisville, that really reinstituted constitutional freedoms in the middle of a pandemic. And it was just everybody across the country, whether religious or not, loved seeing the constitutional framework back in place. And then we won a statewide injunction, again, in federal court, opening up every church for in-person church services across the state of Kentucky in another case. And just we had case after case that were building around the country that were reminding us of the religious freedoms that our country was built upon. And one of the things I loved about it, Todd, was what you would see happen is the church would open and then businesses would open. Because if churches aren't protected under the Constitution, businesses have no chance. But when those churches won under the First Amendment, free speech, freedom of assembly, free exercise of religion, it not only opened up their freedoms, but it began opening up everybody else's freedoms. And so we were doing so well, we're almost ready to tie a bow on this thing and be done in the pandemic with some really strong decisions about the freedoms that you do have under the Constitution. And then this thing hit late Friday night, which really, is something now that's going to have to be dealt with. And whether it's cabined in because of how rare the posture it was and how it was done, or whether we get another case up to the Supreme Court to hopefully get this thing really changed and wiped out, I don't know. But we're going to do everything we can at First Liberty. We didn't control that case in California, but we're controlling a number of other cases and hoping to get that opportunity.
All right. Well, great work as always, Kelly. Real quick, though, what does this mean for churches in California?
Well, I think the best, there's probably going to be more legal actions coming out of this, but, you know, the difficulty with that being the higher court above and you're going to go to the Ninth Circuit, it's going to be very difficult out there from a legal standpoint. But the thing that's been going great in California is pastors have been rising up and people have been showing up at Sacramento. I mean, not just a small number of people, huge numbers of people insisting upon getting their freedoms back. And I think that is beginning to push Governor Newsom to start, you know, really pulling back. And I think that's part of why the 25% churches opening at 25% happened. And they just need to keep pushing and get as much of those freedoms back as they can through the political process, not knowing if the courts are really going to help them out there. And then we just have to look for really good cases in other states where we can go fresh and hopefully get some decisions that really help all the churches around the country.
All right. Well, Kelly, we're going to leave it there. Great work as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. And if people want to follow this info, they can go to firstliberty.org and just click on the Insider Report, and we'll keep them up to date.
All right, folks, firstliberty.org, Kelly Shackelford, First Liberty Institute, out there fighting the good fight and protecting your First Amendment freedoms. Got to take a break here, folks. When we come back, opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Following all sorts of breaking news around the country, and the president, of course, just a few moments ago, jerked a knot in our nation's governors and told them they got to man up and they got to take care of business. What do you think we ought to do here, folks? What is the solution? I say that the president needs to bring in the U.S. military. And I like the idea that Senator Tom Cotton came up with. Just implement the Insurrection Act, because what we are watching is an insurrection and a rebellion. And it is a well-financed, well-coordinated attack on America. And we've got to figure out who's ultimately responsible for this, and we got to make them pay. All right, I want to get to the phone lines here, 844-747-8868. Our good friend Joe from Ellijay. Joe, I know you've been holding on for a while, but I understand you got a little bit of sad news to share with us today.
Todd, I do. A good friend who loves your program, Oscar Poole, has passed away, the Barbecue King, and something very unique. It's going to be one of the most unique funerals in history. They're going to have the funeral at the barbecue, and then transport him in a team of mules is going to transport Oscar through the town of Ellijay and to the cemetery, and it'll be a real interesting funeral. And just want to say he thought the world of your show, as we all do, and just want to let you know that he has passed on. But I agree with you. I agree with what Tom Cotton. We got to punish those people that ride. Nobody has a right, Todd, to destroy. If you got a car, I have no right to touch your car. That's your private property. I've taught my kids, and I'm sure everybody should teach their kids, never destroy personal property. So we need to punish those people who are rioting. But anyway, you're doing a super job. I've listened to the program, and you get me fired up, Todd. I'm really fired up.
Well, I'm sad to hear the news about Oscar. He is such a legend, and I want you to tell folks around the nation, you know, about the barbecue joint, because it really is a nationally known institution, not just for barbecue, but also for politics.
Yeah, he's had top people. I interviewed Pat Buchanan on C-SPAN there back in 92. Pat Buchanan came there. Johnny Isaacson, Senator, started his campaign. Nearly all the Republican politicians start their campaign at Pooh's Famous Barbecue. And we went to the Pat Buchanan convention. Oscar and I were both delegates. And I looked on the – we was in San Diego, woke up the next day, and Oscar's front – Oscar and his yellow suit were on the front page of the San Diego paper, the Los Angeles paper. Then we went over to the – we went over to the convention center, and there was Oscar being interviewed on CNN. That was when CNN wasn't quite as liberal as they are now, Todd. But anyway, Oscar's amazing, and we'll really miss him. But he really thought a lot of you and your show, and we're all pushing you, Todd. And more and more people are calling me and telling me, Joe, I hear you on Todd. We love the show. And so you're a champion of liberty, Todd, and champion of free enterprise and capitalism. And we love and appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And, Joe, please, I want you to convey to the Poole family that we're going to be praying for them. And anything they need, you just let me know, and we'll be glad to take care of that.
Todd, thank you so much. I'll convey that to the family. You have a great – thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Joe from LJ. And normally, Joe is, you know, upbeat and chipper, and he was upbeat. But very sad news coming out of LJ, Georgia. You know, Caleb and Avery – you know, a lot of people, they strive in their life, especially in the broadcasting profession, to get an Emmy or some sort of a Tony Award, or you know, get the Oscar statue, the Academy Awards. But for me, honestly, the highlight of my career was when I got a call from Joe and from Oscar Poole, and they were announcing that they had given me my very own pig on the Pig Hill of Fame. That was quite an adventure back in the day. So if you've ever been to the Oscar Poole's barbecue joint, there's a giant hill behind the barbecue joint, and there must be hundreds of pigs up there. And it's a wooden cutout pig, and they honored me with my very own Todd Starnes pig on the Pig Hall of Fame. It was a great moment in my career. And just the nicest guy. And, you know, interesting, you know, Joe talked about how everybody in Republican politics knows Oscar Poole. I was back in 2006, 2007, Oscar Poole, I was in the middle of Des Moines, Iowa. And guess who I run into in Des Moines, Iowa? It was Oscar Poole. He always used to drive around that bright yellow vehicle. I forget what it was. Joe would probably know what it was. And he would wear one of those tuxedos, a yellow tuxedo. He was a very colorful man. Good man there. But Joe from LJ breaking the news that Oscar Poole from Poole's World Famous Barbecue has passed on. So you guys say a prayer for the family, and we'll tell you more about that, more about the Pig Hall of Fame a little bit later on. All right, look, we've got to get right back to it after this bottom of the hour news break. Got to pay some bills. When we come back, more breaking news on the riots that have caused great unrest in our country. We're going to get to that. Plus, your calls. Don't go anywhere. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's get right to the phones as promised. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to North Carolina. David on the line. David, what is going on today?
Not a whole lot, Todd. I live outside of New Bern, out in the country, but I've got a New Bern address. Well, I went to town New Bern the other day, and they had a bunch of kids protesting. They were about 20 feet apart, and but I would put a stop to this crap under whatever it took, I'd put a stop to it. And after I go to protesting, I would tell the police, use live rounds, and that'll put a stop to it.
Well, I think that we're getting to that point. Actually, we're beyond that point. And if the right now the rioters and the looters understand that the police are not going to do what is necessary to put down this rebellion, and all it would take is a nationally televised example of what happens if, in fact, a police officer decides to jerk a knot in one of these kids. And I think then that would quell the rioting and the looting. At least in my estimation, it would. But I'm not sure that law enforcement will be allowed to do anything like that, David. I really don't believe it. Hey, David, thank you for the telephone call. Also in North Carolina, let's go to John. John, what's on your mind today?
Todd, I live in the western part of North Carolina, but I listen to your show on KWAM. And I tell my friends about your show. They say, well, what station do you listen to him on? I said, man, there's only one station. That's KWAM, the Mighty 990, out of Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, we need to put you on the marketing team. Well done, John.
The main reason I called was I was listening to the radio this weekend, Echo, that little thing that you get from Amazon. That's how I listen to the news. And I was listening to the rioting, and they were talking out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And people were throwing bottles, bricks, rocks. And the reporter on the ground said, the police are firing now. They're firing the rubber bullets. And he said, they're firing at the ground. I said, what? They're firing at the ground? Todd, I got so mad I had to get up and go outside and walk around and cool off. I could not believe it. Let me ask you a question. Why can't they use the fire trucks and spray the water on those people and push them back like they did years ago?
Well, that is a terrific question, and I will do my best to answer that for you. I believe you would need to go back in history to Birmingham, Alabama, and Bull Connor. And that's the reason why they're not going to turn the hoses on anybody. They're just not going to do that. But, my concern, John, and I don't know how you feel about this, but, ultimately, the people who are going to get caught up in this and will end up getting in trouble are the law-abiding business owners who are standing guard over their businesses. And I'm promising you there will be somebody who will get shot because they tried to loot a business. And I'm wondering what that's going to look like. And, we'll see this whole thing explode again.
Yeah, 1960, I was 12 years old, and I lived in Newbern, North Carolina. There was a man that had a barbecue business, John Moore, and he was in business for about 65 years. And when they had the riots in Newbern, he got a couple of his buddies, and they went in the store, and some stood on the outside with shotguns, and they didn't even touch his store.
Let me tell you where this is going, John. And we've been pretty much on the mark here in predicting where this was all going to go. And we've been monitoring this for the past, week and a half now. This is now becoming a race war. And that's what the Democrats want. They want a full-blown race war. And why is that? Well, number one, they want to destabilize the country. And the reason they want to destabilize the country is because they believe that could undermine President Trump's reelection bid. They've been trying everything. They tried Russia collusion. That didn't work. They've been trying with the with the pandemic. That did not work. They tried with the shutdowns and the quarantines. That did not work. And now here we are. They saw this horrible tragedy unfold in Minneapolis, and they said, bingo, that's what we need. We can use that. And now all of a sudden, you have pallets of bricks just spontaneously appearing in major cities. You have automobiles that have been pre-positioned, filled with gasoline tanks, already filled. So I'm telling you, there's more to this than meets the eye. And John, thank you for the call. There's more to this than meets the eye, ladies and gentlemen. Michigan's Democrat Party chair, by the way, says, quote, if you support Donald Trump, you are a racist. Fairfax County Democrats. That's Fairfax County in Virginia. Fairfax County's Democratic Committee retweeted a claim that riots are an integral part of this country's march towards progress. In other words, this is all part of the plan. That tweet has now been deleted, but you know, they're able to get the screen grabs. When President Obama included the Stonewall riots in his second inaugural, he did not make that decision lightly. The president said riots are an integral part of this country's march towards progress. This is all planned, and it's all part of a bigger plan. The riots will go on. The riots will continue. But the question at hand is, what do we do about this? And I'm curious what you guys are hearing in your communities. You folks in Little Rock, you had a lot of violence over the weekend. Here in Memphis, Tennessee, I will say this. The protests were by and large peaceful until last night, when all you know what broke loose and they started blocking the Mississippi River bridges. They clashed with police. Gunfire was some in two separate incidents. People were firing guns at police officers. Something's going on here, folks, and we've got to be prepared for whatever comes our way. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Stern.
Those of you that follow us on the Instagram, that's Todd Starnes, FNC. We just posted a photo, a blast from the past, where I was inducted into the Pig Hill of Fame. And we have a photograph on the Instagram. And guys, I don't know if your microphones are working now, but the photo is Joe from LJ and Colonel Poole. He's wearing the red, white, and blue Abe Lincoln top hat and that infamous yellow suit, and they've got the yellow pig there. Wow, so I'm being told back in our studio that the microphones are not working for Caleb and Avery. I was wondering, I don't know if Avery had laryngitis. I didn't know what was going on. But apparently our mics are not working, so our apologies, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, what is working is the listener line, and a lot of you folks want to weigh in on what's happening around the country. Let's go to North Little Rock, Arkansas. Mary listening to us on KARN. Hi, Mary. What's going on?
Hello there. I'm just going to tell you right now, I am furious. First of all, I'm upset because, just to say this real quickly, I cannot believe that all of those people were there videotaping this guy get killed, and nobody went up there and tackled this cop. But that's you know, that's water on the bridge. What I want to say about now is, did you all see what they did to this little lady at the Target store in the wheelchair?
In Minneapolis, Mary, I did see that. This woman was in one of those motorized... Is that the one you're talking about, the motorized wheelchair?
Yes. I am so sick about it. Because to me... Did you see what they did to her? They sprayed her down. And to me, that was no more horrific than what was happening with George Floyd. Now, in my opinion, I'm sure that lady was horrified. But she was attacked by a pack of animals who call themselves human beings, and I'm just appalled at it. And I can't apologize for the black race. I am black, but I am sick about it, and I'm sick of the whole thing about the way CNN is protecting all of this riot and stuff. But what they did to that woman was wrong, and let me slow down because I'm so upset.
No, you know what, Mary? No, just catch your breath. You're doing fine. And look, I mean, look, you are right to be angry. But, you know, here's one of my observations about America, Mary. You know, I lived 15 years in New York City. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, so I was a son of the South. And I think Southerners, by and large, have a better handle and a better understanding of race issues than any other part of the country because we lived it. I mean, that's just the nature of who we are as Southerners. But when you
see... The problem is we're asking for something as black people that we're not willing to give.
I hear what you're saying. But I got to tell you, Mary, what we don't know is what was in that police officer's heart when he did what he did. Is he a racist? I don't know. I have no way of knowing that right now. I'm sure we will find out. But right now, you've got a lot of people out there taking full advantage of this, and they're trying to stoke the flames of an all-out race war, and we've got to put a stop to it.
We must. And I'm going to tell you, like, I don't mean any harm. I tried to tweet it earlier, but I have no problem saying shoot to kill. I may be harsh. I may be too harsh. But I have every right, and I'm mad at Target for this one reason. As soon as they start turning up their things, they should have immediately hired some private security people armed to go in there and protect their stuff, and the order should be shoot to kill. If you want to protest that blacks are being treated wrong, fine. But protesting about the treatment of George Floyd has nothing to do with the fact that you got to go and break out windows and turn stuff and steal. Did you see these people? There is no excuse for it. And it has nothing to do with them being mad about that man. It has everything to do with they wanted a new TV, and this was an opportunity to go and break into some stuff and tear up some things and get what they want.
Flat screen TVs.
And I'm
sick
of black people not being honest about what we are doing as a race. This is unacceptable.
I don't know, Mary, if you heard earlier in the show, we were playing some of the audio from Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. She's the mayor of Atlanta. You know, I was listening to that as it happened in real time and found myself shouting amen. And this is a message that needs to be delivered to every child in America. It doesn't matter, black, white, Hispanic, whatever. We need to hear that message. Personal responsibility.
Well, the problem is CNN is, as you say, I hate to say CNN, but I just took time to just sit and watch it. CNN for like the last 24 hours because I wanted to really see if what you all see on 102.9, which this is on the stage my radio station, I wanted to see myself if I could just feel that. And after listening to several interviews, it is so obvious that they are justifying what these people are doing, and there is no justification for looting. And I commend those people up, I think in Washington or Seattle or somewhere, that have gotten guns and are going out to protect themselves and protect their stuff.
I think we're
going to start to have what we can have a riot-proof kit. Americans like me, we're going to have several guns and ammunition. They need to put it in their businesses. When the looters come, bust them in their tail.
I'm with you.
If you got enough nerve to run into my business and turn my place up because you mad at someone else, I have every right to shoot you down.
Mary, Buffalo, New York. One of the most heinous videos I've ever seen. An elderly business owner and his wife were beaten in the streets by looters with a 2x4, and nobody did anything about it. And it just it angers me. And we've got to. You're right. We got to fight back. And I'm with you. I don't have a problem with that. I don't. You know, there's a one of the owners of a lot of the bars down in Nashville, Tennessee, Lower Broadway, gave orders to his staff. You see looters, you shoot to kill. They come into this, you shoot to kill. Mary, thank you for the call. I want you to call us back sometime. Will you do that, Mary?
I will, but I will. Let me just say one last thing.
Sure, yes,
ma'am. I do think, and I'm fixing to hang up. Thank you for taking my call, though. I do believe that I need my president that I voted for, President Trump, and I'm not going to talk about how many fights I've gotten into about that. But anyway, I need to hear from my president, even if it's just to say that's in his safe hands. He needs to say something.
I agree. All right? Yes, he does. And we've been pretty open about that today. I think this president needs to step up. This is not about – we don't need tweets anymore. We need to hear from the commander-in-chief. And he needs to lay down the law. We need to have a come-to-Jesus minute as a country tonight. All right, Mary, thank you for the call. Real quick, let's go to Katie, also calling from Little Rock, K-A-R-N. Hi, Katie. What's on your mind today?
Hey there. I agree with her here also. That's a good message from her. I just want to know what would have happened if it if it wasn't a black person, a colored person, or anybody. If it had been a white person down there, would we have all this problem? I don't think
so. No, we would not, Katie. And to your point, a couple of weeks ago, and I shared this on Twitter over the weekend, there was an elderly white couple. They were visiting the grave of their dead son, and a black man came up and shot both of them, killed them. Mm-hmm. There was no, where was the outrage there? Where were the marches in the streets? Where were the protests? There were none. There mm-hmm. were none. And that's that's a problem. We need to be condemning all violence.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be having this problem if it was she was on the other foot. And you know, they want to be stopped. They want to be called a. They don't want to be called a racist. But you know what? They act like they are because they're the ones that's having a problem with it.
But Katie, you need to understand something. There are a mm-hmm. lot of people marching in the streets, and they and rightfully so. And those are good, decent people. We may disagree with them politically, but you know what? On this one, I think by and large, the entire country was in agreement that what that cop did was wrong.
Oh, he was so wrong. There was no doubt about that.
But what we've got now, Katie, we've got a situation where you have Antifa and Black Lives Matter and a lot of mm-hmm. other hate groups out there, and they're taking advantage of all of this. And that's mm-hmm. what
that's
we have.
Exactly
that's
right.
what we have to address.
Yeah, I got that. I understand all of this. I mean, I have so many friends that are colored, and I love every one of them. Not everyone is bad ever, and there's white folks that's not that great either. So I agree with all that.
Well, look, hang in there, but we're going to have to get through this together, and we cannot allow these Antifa thugs to divide us along racial lines. We just can't let them do it. Look, Katie, I hate to do this. We are literally coming up on the end of the show, so I'm going to have to let you go. Give us a call back sometime. And, folks, I'm telling you, yes, protest. Yes, engage in your constitutional rights. But don't burn down cities. And don't let them divide us. We are one nation under God. And we cannot let these Democrats, we cannot let the mainstream media, we cannot let Hollywood divide us. We just cannot do that. But again, as I will end the show as I started the show, it is a reason to celebrate because apparently the global pandemic is over. Everybody get out there, congregate, head out to the football games, go to the Chuck E. Cheese. Jeez, Lou, what's going on here? All right, look, ToddStearns.com, our website. Check that out. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Stick around, everybody.